All right, wonderful. Thank you, Hannah. Take your Bible tonight. We're just going to give you a little bit of an introduction. I'll finish this up on Sunday. And we have been using the Wednesday and Sunday services in the month of April, preaching on family matters. I want to talk to you tonight, church, give you the introduction, and I'll finish this probably on Sunday night, give you the introduction to tools for building a Christian home. Now, I hope that you hear every service because if you're not here, you're going to miss something your home's going to need. I promise you. Listen, Satan is destroying homes today. And listen, he's destroying, if not more, as many Christian homes as he is the homes of lost people across America today and across the world. And there's a reason for that. And I think it may be that we're just not equipped. We're not ready. And I think sometimes families, we don't recognize the attacks of the devil. So take your Bible, Joshua 24, Psalm 127. Joshua 24 and Psalm 127. Would you stand with me? And again, just going to kind of give you an introduction tonight. We'll finish this up on Sunday. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15, you'll recognize it. Joshua says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Let me stop right there and say this. You know, if you're going to have a Christian home, you've got to choose to have one. It doesn't just come just because you're saved doesn't mean that you've got a Christian home. A Christian home is something that you make, you work at, you develop. That's what a Christian home is. And so he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." But Joshua made a clear, definite choice. He said, "But if that's my alternative, if that's what I've got to choose from, to serve those gods or serve Jehovah God," he said, "as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He made a willful choice to have the home and that God designed for the family. Now take your Bible, go to Psalm 127, verse number 1. Psalm 127 and verse number 1. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." Now this particular psalm, we'll study a little bit more about this on Sunday, but this particular psalm right here is attributed to Solomon. I think Solomon, when you go read the book of Ecclesiastes, had learned some lessons, don't you? I think that by the end of the book, he finally concludes, "I've tried everything in the world. I've done everything in the world. I've owned everything that you can possibly own." He said, "I've come to this conclusion. It's all vanity." You know why? Because everything that he did, particularly toward the latter end of his life, he did without the power of God, without the influence of God, and out of the will of God. And let me tell you something, if you try to build a home out of the will of God, contrary to the Word of God, you know what you're going to end your life? You're going to end your life saying, "You know what? Look at what I did. I did it on my own, and this is what I get." If you'll follow the biblical format and the biblical pattern for a family, I promise you, you have the promise of the Word of God that you can have a Christian home that's honoring. I don't care whether it is 2012 or not. You can build a Christian home, but you're going to have to work at it. I want to talk to you for a moment about the tools for building a Christian home. Now, Father, would you bless us? Thank you for the privilege that we have to be here tonight. In the few minutes that we have, would you open our heart to the truth? In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. When you read the Gospels, have you ever noticed how often the Scripture mentions Jesus being in someone's home? Over and over, you ought to do this. You ought to go and count how many times just in the Gospels and ministry it talks about Jesus either being in the house or in someone's home. Now listen, I just started counting and I just stopped once I got to 12. I counted at least 12 different people that Jesus was in their home for one reason or another. If you'll remember, he was in the home of Simon Peter. He was in the home of Zacchaeus. He was in the home of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. He was in the home of Simon the leper. He was in the home of several Pharisees and publicans. And I could go on and on, but you get the point. The point was that Jesus felt it necessary to go in the home to accomplish some things in his ministry. And so if Jesus felt that the home was that important, then I think that we ought to give some attention to the home. And listen, I gave you just those illustrations, and that doesn't include how many times the Bible references Jesus being in the house or being in an house. Many times you'll find that it says, and when Jesus came out of the house, he was in the homes of people constantly. The word house is used over 100 times in the New Testament. Either the word house, home, household, some form of the word house used in the New Testament, referencing the dwelling place of the family. Now folks, listen, I'm not real smart, but listen, if Jesus mentioned it one time, it's important. If he mentions 100+ times, that tells me, that ought to give me a red flag. You know what? This must be important. The home must be an important thing to the Lord. And it ought to give us a red flag. Now, it seems to me that God just might be trying to get us focused, church, on our homes and building them according to the biblical blueprint. I think if he mentions it that many times and that there's that many references to Jesus being in the home, then I think it ought to send up a red flag that says, you know what, this might be important to Christianity. I have often used this illustration, and I'll use it again. You know, we do a lot of door knocking. We go door to door, and we see a lot of people saved that come to Christ. But I want you to think about this, mamas and daddies. If you had two children, and you made sure that those two children were saved, and that got born again, and you taught them to teach their children the truth so that their children could be saved, and each one of your two children had two children, and they got saved, and then your children taught your grandchildren to make sure that their kids were saved, and then your two kids that had two kids had two more kids. And all of these people, all these young people were getting saved. And listen, if you figure that if every one of them were taught the truth about reaching their own children for Christ, and it went 10 generations, do you know how much fruit that you would have abounding to your account? Just reaching your own family? Just reaching those under your household? Listen, if you add the numbers up, you make sure that happens, mamas and daddies, you listen to me, you'll have more fruit to your account than if you spent the next few years knocking doors. Now, that doesn't mean that we ought to stop knocking doors. What I'm trying to say is you need to make sure your own family's saved. You need to make sure your children's saved, your grandchildren's saved, and teach them such. Now, I want to say this. Think about just for a moment. I gave you some homes that Jesus went into, but I also want to bring your attention to something here also. Think for a moment about how many miracles that Jesus did in his ministry that were family related. You ever thought about that? Think about how many miracles were family related. I don't have time to mention them all. Let me just mention a few. First of all, remember he went into the home of Peter and Andrew, and there his mother-in-law, now this was a miracle, folks, a genuine miracle. He went and healed his mother-in-law. Okay, a miracle of God, a noted miracle. But he healed Peter's mother-in-law. You know where that took place? In his house. May I also remind you that he also performed another miracle. Remember the father that brought his son possessed of the devil? He brought him to the disciples. The disciples couldn't cast him out. And he then took him to Jesus, and Jesus rebuked the devils and cast them out of there. Family-related miracle. Family-related miracle. Remember that Jesus, in the city of Nain, they passed a funeral procession going out. Remember that little widow woman's that her son had passed away. Jesus stopped the funeral, raised that boy from the dead. Family-related miracle. You say, preacher, what does all this have to do with me? Well, let me say this again. Remember that when he raised Lazarus from the dead, remember, family-related miracle. Remember when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead? Family-related miracle. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm just asking you. You need a miracle in your family tonight? You need a miracle, God, to do something extraordinary in your home? The reason he may not be is that we may not be qualifying for one. Because our homes are not biblically based. We're not following the biblical blueprint for a Christian home. There are a whole lot of other situations in the Bible, but you get my point. I'm just here to tell you, Jesus is pro-family. Not only is he pro-family, he's pro-home as well. He wants your home, he wants my home to be happy, prosperous, for the rest of our lives. He doesn't want you to be miserable at any point. Now, I believe that every honest family would agree that joy and happiness and peace and prosperity and productivity are all the desires of our home, right? Everybody shake your head. Yeah, hey, yeah, that's what I want. But you know something? You've got to make that happen. You've got to make it happen. You see, this is a great aspiration of families, but it's not going to happen on its own. When Scripture tells us, when it says that except the Lord build the house, it's not saying, church, that we don't do anything, that to just sit back and let God raise our kids for us. It doesn't mean that we just sit back and do nothing as far as cultivating our marriage relationship. It doesn't mean that we just sit back and God's going to protect us. Now listen very carefully to what I'm saying, parents. It doesn't refer to parents going separate directions and expecting God to keep your romance and oneness alive. Usually when a husband and wife are going two different directions and not spending time together, and listen, our little cliche is, oh, God will take care of us. God will watch over us. Listen, let me tell you something, my friend. You go one direction, he goes the other direction. Listen, they're in enough power of anybody on this earth. If you don't want it to happen, it's not happening. You've got to make sure that you're following the biblical pattern. Listen, marriage has to do with oneness, not division. Oneness. Let me say something else. It also doesn't even mean that God's going to take care of your children as long as you have them in church, under preaching. Listen to me. There's kids going to hell in a handbasket straight from the church pew as they are out here on the streets. You see, again, our little cliche, oh, as long as I have my kids in church, God's going to take care of everything. Well, God's got a plan of how things are going to be taken care of, but you've got to have a little input. See, remember what I said? What happens is we want God to do everything and us get the credit for it. We want Him to do everything, and yet He's given us a biblical format and a blueprint of how it's supposed to do. So listen to me, mamas and daddies. Just because you have your kids sitting in a church pew doesn't mean they're going to turn out right. You have to invest in their lives. There's got to be some tools that are available to you. Now go back to Psalm 127, if you would please. Psalm 127, and let's just dissect this verse just a moment. The Scripture says, except. See that word there? That's important, because that word right there literally means unless, or, listen now, if not. He says, in other words, if not, if you don't build the house the correct way, which is through the Lord, he said, unless, if not, guess who the architect is? Except the Lord. The Lord. He's the architect of the home and the family. He's the master builder. But did you notice it says, except, if not, unless, the architect, the master builder. By the way, who designed the first family to begin with? The Lord did. That He probably knows how it ought to function, right? He probably understands how it's supposed to operate and what constitutes a right type of home and what constitutes the wrong type of home. You see what happens many times, we listen to Dr. Duflunky or read his books and stuff, we think he's got more sense than God. Amen. Now let me tell you something. Your first book of counsel as far as how to have a Christian home and find the tools ought to be the Bible. See, we get down here, we run to Family Life and Lifeway and all these places. Look, and we go to the top 10 selling books on the home and we buy it and we believe everything the guy says and haven't even checked it out in the Bible. You say, preacher, are you against good books on the home? No, of course not. But don't take everybody's word at face value. Check it out from the Bible. And make sure that it lines up with Scripture. He says, except, if not, unless the architect of the home, the master builder, the Lord, build, that means establish, construct, bring into being, unless the Lord build the house. Notice this. He said, unless the Lord build the house. Circle that in your Bible there. That's the dwelling place. That's the abode. That's your family. He said, they labor in, here's another word you need to circle, the word vain. It means unsuccessful. It means baseless. It means that if you build it on your concepts and on your ideas, it will not stand. It will not be productive. And listen, By the time most families end up trying to build a home on their own ideas and philosophies, by the time they ever make it to the preacher's office, the house has already collapsed in. And then they come and say, "Preacher, I need you to come and reconstruct this house." And the preacher's like, "Okay, where do we start with this? I mean, this thing, some of you see the pictures of the tornado in the homes, their homes spread over. Many times that's the spiritual condition of the home by the time it reaches the preacher's office. Because we thought we had the foundation right. We thought that we knew what we were doing, only to find out that the concepts and principles that we were applying in our family were not biblical. But by then it's too late. By then our children are 18 years old and we think, "My goodness, Lord, can we rewind this?" He's like, "Listen, it was there the whole time. You heard it preached. It was in the book. You had all kinds of lessons and teaching and preaching and classes on marriage and child rearing. And by the way, church, if you'll be back, you're going to get all this month. All of it. And you won't want to miss a single time." But listen, what we're trying to do is trying to give you some tools for the Christian home. The Lord said, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." Let me give you a couple of illustrations we're going to have to pull up here tonight. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 7. Go to Matthew 7. Jesus makes a reference here in Matthew 7 as he's preaching. Matthew 7 verse 24. Matthew 7 verse 24. Listen to what he says. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine." You need to circle that little phrase, "sayings of mine," because I'm going to show you what that is. He said, "Heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." Stop. What's "them" referring back to? The sayings of mine. He says, all right, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which shall build his house upon a rock." What do you think that rock's referring to? A lot of people say, "Oh, that's referring to Jesus." Wait a minute. Yeah, indirectly it is, but it's referring back to the sayings of Jesus. That's what it's referring back to. He says, a man that will take and build his home on the foundations of the teachings of Christ, he said, that man is a wise man. Now look what else he says. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not." Why? Because it was built on the rock, which the rock is referring back to the sayings of mine. All right? He says, if they're built on the sayings of mine, the teachings of mine, he says that it fell not, for it was founded on the teachings of Christ. The foundation. Look at verse 26. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine," what sayings is he referring back to? Back to the very beginning, the teachings, the doctrinal foundation upon which a home is supposed to be built. It says, "heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," that's the sayings, "not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the..." Okay, the sand is not the sayings of mine. So what is the sand? If the rock is the sayings of Jesus, then what does the sand represent? It has to be the philosophy of men, right? All right, so if it's the philosophy of men and we got two situations, we got build a home on the rock, the teachings of Christ, or build them on sand, which is the teachings of man, he said, one stands, one falls. Which one are you going to do? See, listen to me well, church. What I'm saying is the reason many of our Christian homes are falling is because we've put the Bible on the back burner and we're reading too many books and listening to too many guys on the radio that are trying to teach you how to do something, listen to me, that some of them have never done themselves. Amen. So what I'm trying to say here is Jesus is simply making a point. He says the guy that builds his house on the sand, then what's going to happen? The rain's going to descend, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. What's that house he's talking about? That's the one built on the philosophy of men. That's the one that's built on the philosophy of how to raise children, which some guy over here says, you know what? You can't discipline your children. You can't do what the Bible says. There can't be corporal punishment, because if you do, you're going to warp their personality and they're going to hate you. And that's what Dr. Dufunky says. Well, I'll just be honest with you. Listen, I was raised up in an era my parents never read Dr. Dufunky's books. In my house, there was no such thing as 1, 2, 3. Wasn't no such thing as that. Wasn't no such thing as me putting my nose in the corner. Miss Martha, 1 and 6. Listen, my dad says, this is what I want you to do. You know how many chances I got? None. No more chances. He told me what to do. If I didn't do it, corporal punishment. That's the reason I'm messed up. That's the reason I'm warped. My personality, my brain's messed up. You say, preacher, don't you hate your parents for that? Let me tell you something. My parents are still both living, and if somebody ever said anything against my parents, you messing with me. I love my parents to death. They did the right thing. They weren't even saved and still practiced biblical principle, didn't even know it. Now, what I'm saying to you is Jesus said, a house built on the sand, men's philosophy, when the rains come, and listen, when problems come, that house falls. Now, look at what he said. And great is the fall of it. Great is the fall. Go back and look at verse number 24. Let's look at a couple of words real quick. I've only got just a couple of minutes left. He said, whosoever. You know what that tells me? That tells me anyone can do this. You listen to me? I'm telling you, anybody can build a Christian home. If you're a child of God, you can build a Christian home if you want to. You know what you have to do? You know what the difference between these two guys were? One chose to do the right thing, one chose not to. You know what the difference between a Christian home and a non-Christian home is? Somebody chooses to have one, somebody chooses not to have one. And it's basically a choice. Whosoever tells me that anybody that's willing to have a Christian home can have one. Did you notice it says, and whosoever heareth? That means you're going to have an open spirit to the truth. You're going to have open spirit this month to the preaching and teaching. You say, preacher, I just don't believe that. All right, then show me in the Bible then how things are working according to your philosophy. Just stick to the Bible. I promise you, it will work 100% of the time. He says, those come and hear. You know what our problem is? Our problem is, church, too many of us, our ears are closed spiritually. We are not listening. Remember, I've told you 100 times, when you come to church, you expect the preacher to be ready. Listen to me, I expect you to be ready. I expect you to come with an open spirit and an open heart. Listen, the preacher can come up there and scream until his eyeballs pop out, the veins pop out on his neck, and what hair I've got left falls out. Not going to do any good if your spirit's closed. Not going to do any good. You've got to come with an open spirit. He said, whosoever, that's anybody can build a Christian home, that listens and hears. Did you notice he said, heareth the sayings of mine? That's the doctrines and teachings on the subject we're talking about, that Jesus taught. Jesus spent a lot of time in homes. Then he says, heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. That's the application of the sayings of Jesus. He says, a man that does this, look what he says, I will liken him unto a wise man. A wise man. We're going to talk a little bit more about wisdom Sunday night. That's putting to practice the things you already know. That's what wisdom is. It's putting to practice the things that you already know. Listen, let me tell you something, folks. You know what concerns me about my Christian life? What concerns me about my Christian life and reading my Bible is not the parts of the Bible I don't know and don't understand. What bothers me is the parts I understand are not practicing. That's what bothers me. Because the parts that I do understand, most of us aren't even practicing those. And that's what ought to convict us. That's what ought to get under our skin about serving the Lord. And then notice this now. He says, I liken him to a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain, did you notice the rain, the wind, and the floods came? You know what that tells me? That tells me that your home, it's not if, it's when the rains come and when the winds blow, because they will come. That tells me that adversity will come. Opposition will come. Your family, listen, you can try as hard as you want, your family will have a family crisis, or two, or five, or ten, during your lifetime. And he says, a guy that has his home built on the principles and built on the sayings of Jesus, when all of these adversity come, they won't quit church and they won't quit God. Amen. And when opposition comes and maybe things get a little sideways with their teenagers, they won't pull them out of the teen department. Amen. You know why? Because you're built on the principle. You've decided, I'm living by the book. All right, let me give you one other illustration. Turn to Matthew 12. I got 31 seconds. Let me just make a comment here on this. Matthew 12, 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, he's talking about the Pharisees, every kingdom, oh, this is an important word, divided against itself is brought to what, church? Desolation. See, you know some of those pictures you saw of these homes? That's called desolation. He said, are brought to desolation in every city, listen now, or what? Or house divided against itself shall not stand. So if you think you're going to be the exception to the rule, you're sadly mistaken. You're not going to be the exception to the rule. If we do not follow the biblical blueprint of a marriage, if we do not follow the biblical blueprint of a Christian home, if we do not follow the biblical blueprint of raising children, your home, your children, your marriage will not stand. That is a promise from God. You see that house again? Remember, it's the dwelling. And did you notice he said divided? That means separated or cut off from the sayings of mine. He said if we split our home and split ourselves and separate ourselves from the sayings. Where do the sayings come from? They come from the book. Uh-oh, listen, I'm going to have to get personal now. I wonder how many of us are even having a family devotion. See, it gets real quiet. You know why? Because it's convicting. Because the thing about it is, this is where the sayings are. And the reason maybe some of us aren't practicing and have the tools of a Christian home because we're not reading the book. We're not reading the instruction manual. I have people tell me all the time, preacher, I want to have so bad. I want to have a successful home. I want to raise good kids. I want to have a successful marriage. I want to live with my spouse. We want to be married for 50, 60, 70 years till death do us part. I said, the only way that's going to happen is if you practice the principles of this book right there. That's the only way it's going to happen if you're going to practice the principles of the book. You see, the division Jesus, I believe, without any question, is talking about is the division, the separation of his teachings. We separate ourselves from the teachings of Christ. You cannot, that home, when the winds come, the floods rise, the rain comes, guess what's going to happen? Boom, your house falls. And the scripture says, great is the fall of it. Anybody ever seen a home fall and great was the fall of it? I promise you, most of everybody in here has. Now notice that the Lord does the construction and the building of the home, listen now, through truth. Let me give you a couple of verses and I'm done. Remember in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30, remember Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you... What did he say about his yoke? He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It kind of sounds to me like he said, listen, this thing of having a Christian home and raising kids in the world today, he said, you're going to need me or it ain't happening. He said, you're going to need my sayings and my teaching or my friend. Your house is going to fall and great is the fall of it. He said, if I'm absent from it. Remember 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, he says, cast all of your care, casting all of your care upon me, for he careth for you. Sounds to me like Jesus said, you know what? Family issues, adversity, stuff, bring them to me. Bring them to me. Now listen to me. I'm not against counseling, but for what happens is we go to four or five counselors before we ever come to Jesus. He didn't say cast all your care on a counselor. He said cast all your care upon me. Listen to Matthew 5, verse 15, I'm done. Jesus said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light. Stop. What's light a picture of in Scripture? Truth. Truth. He says, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all. Not some, all that are in the house. That's the reason truth has to be the basis, church. Now, Sunday night, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the actual tools that the Lord teaches us of what has to be the elements in place if we're going to have a Christian home. But you listen to me well. When you leave here tonight, you got to understand that what Satan's trying to do is to divide mamas and daddies from each other, and he's trying to divide teenagers and young people from mom and dad. And if division comes, the Lord says a house divided cannot stand. You know what? That means there's a battle on and you're going to have to fight the devil to keep division from coming in your home. So when we get back Sunday night, the tools for a Christian home. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved. No question about it. I'm a child of God. Why don't you slip in way up high?